It's Sunday, January 24th. I'm Darren Sutherland, and this is the Gwinnett Daily Post podcast. And here are our top stories brought to you by our friends at Peggy Slappy Properties. Everton Blair will lead the Gwinnett County School Board as chairman in 2021. Karen Watkins was picked to be vice chairwoman. Gwinnett County's public schools set to resume in-person learning this Monday. Gwinnett County Chairwoman Nicole Love Hendrickson says she signed orders mandating face masks in all county buildings. And this Friday, we all said goodbye to a legend. Home run legend Henry Aaron. Hank Aaron passes away. 680 The Fan and Hardball Podcast Chris Domino shares a one-of-a-kind interview with the Hall of Famer and legend Hammering Hank at the end of this newscast. You don't want to miss it.
Hey guys, it's Amanda Lee, your local host and Gwinnett native. 2020 has been a different year for sure, but if the time has come for you and your family to buy, sell, or rent a new home, Peggy Slappy Properties is here to help. Peggy and her team have been in Gwinnett and surrounding areas for 38 years now, helping folks just like you and me. Peggy and her team are a little different. Her team of 35-plus realtors realize that fostering strong relationships within the community is the key to their business. Peggy's team of professionals can work with you regardless of circumstance. Residential homes, new homes, rentals, with listings all over the county. In today's climate, you hear a lot of noise from others on how they can help you. The difference is, at Peggy Slappy Properties, they're buying and selling for neighbors, family, and friends. Don't you believe you'll get the most value from a team that knows the lay of the land? Visit Peggy Slappy Properties online at psponline.com or give them a call 24/7 at 770-271-5555. Peggy delivers the very best in Gwinnett and Georgia real estate because you deserve no less.
Everton Blair will lead Gwinnett County School Board as chairman in 2021. Karen Watkins was picked to be vice chairwoman. Gwinnett County Board of Education member Everton Blair Jr. will preside over all the county school board's meeting this year after his colleagues voted unanimously Thursday to pick him as the chairman for 2021. Blair, a Shiloh High School graduate, was also the first African-American ever elected to the school board, has been on the school board for 2 years, and is one of the board's second longest tenured members. New school board member Karen Watkins, who was elected in November, was chosen as the board's vice chairman. Watkins and fellow board member Steve Cudson were both nominated for the position, but Blair and Watkins and board member Therese Johnson voted to elect Watkins to serve in that role. The board also voted 3-2 to retain the Daily Post as its media organ for 2021. Johnson and Watkins cast the dissenting votes, with Johnson asking that a request for proposals to be put out to give the board the options to look at other media outlets to possibly serve the organization. The board also voted 3-2 to keep Thompson, Sweeney, Kissinger, and Pereira as the school system's attorney for 2021, with Johnson and Watkins casting dissenting votes again. Johnson asked for an RFP to be issued to give school boards more options to look at. Hey, we're going back to in-person learning in Gwinnett County on Monday. That's right. Gwinnett County Public Schools announced Friday that the district will resume in-person instruction on Monday, January 25th, for students whose families have selected that option. The district did note that Tuesday, January 26th, is a scheduled digital learning day for all students. It is one of four at-home learning days this semester that will provide additional planning time for teachers. On Tuesday, meals will be available for curbside pickup at schools, and the district will deliver meals along all bus routes countywide, said Sloan Roach, Executive Director of Communications and Media Relations. Roach said families should expect buses to run their routes from approximately 10:45 a.m. to noon, beginning at the first stops on the route. The district began the spring semester with both in-person and digital learning on January 7th, but as COVID-19 numbers in the county increased, which caused a shortage of teachers who either had COVID-19 or had been in contact with someone who had, the district went digital-only learning for students this past week. Talk about the mask in Gwinnett. Well, Gwinnett Chairwoman Nicole Love Hendrickson has set down some new rules, and we'll say goodbye to a legend only on the Sunday edition of the Gwinnett Daily Post podcast, coming up right after this.
Are you changing your health coverage this year? Consider Reese Richardson with Health That Cares. Reese is a licensed advisor right here in Georgia that takes a unique, personal approach with every customer to find the right fit. Reese has access to private plans that fit any budget. That's right, tell Reese what deductible works for you. Reese works with individual coverages, families, and businesses. So next time you consider switching up your health insurance, call Reese Richardson at 813-734-3206 for your free quote.
This podcast is brought to you in part by AM 920 The Answer, Atlanta's home for news, opinion, and insight. Just go to am920theanswer.com to listen live. That's am920theanswer.com.
Hey, Gwinnett Chairwoman Nicole Love Hendrickson says she signed an order mandating face mask in all county buildings. That's right, face mask in all county buildings. Gwinnett County residents, employees, and visitors are going to have to mask up if they want to step on county property. County Chairwoman Nicole Love Hendrickson announced during a council quality growth event on Friday that getting the COVID-19 pandemic under control is a top priority in Gwinnett County and her first major action since taking the reins of government early this month was to begin doing just that. In short, face masks are mandatory in county buildings. The order goes into effect on Tuesday and will remain in effect until January 31st. The order, which includes other facial covering in addition to masks, stipulates that they must cover both the mouth and nose. Anyone who cannot afford a mask will be provided one according to the order. There are some exceptions to the rule, including people with trouble putting them on, wearing or removing a mask or facial covering without assistance, and people with a bona fide religious objection or medical reason for not wearing a mask. In a statement, county officials said people who do not comply with the order can be denied entry into a county building or could be asked to leave if they make it inside the building before they are seen without the mask on. Some interesting days here in Gwinnett County, aren't they? Hey, coming up, a special tribute to baseball's home run king. That's right, we lost Atlanta Brave King Hank Aaron. Hardball Podcast and 680 The Fan's Chris Domino is here to tell us more about it. You don't want to miss it.
Why buy at Kia Mall of Georgia? We provide award-winning customer satisfaction and have been a family-owned business for over 20 years. Buying or leasing with us is fast and easy, and you can get pre-approved online in 4 easy steps. We offer top dollar on trade-ins and have new vehicle specials that are updated every month. Our factory-trained technicians make servicing your vehicle convenient with extended service hours. Stop by and shop with us on the lot or visit us online at lovemykia.com.
Sitting on 714. Here's the pitch by Downing. Swinging. There's a drive into left center field. That ball is going to be out of here. It's gone. It's 715. There's a new home run champion of all time, and it's Henry Aaron. The fireworks are going. Henry Aaron is coming around third. His teammates are at home plate, and listen to this crowd. Crowd is cheering Henry Aaron, the home run king of all time, 715.
As we mentioned before, and you heard the great clip just before this announcement, Friday, Gwinnett baseball fans and fans around the world learned of the death of baseball legend Atlanta Brave Henry Aaron. At the end of today's podcast, take a listen to one of his last interviews. Gwinnett Daily Post podcast contributor and 680 The Fan host and Hardball podcast producer Chris Domino will share his
tonight,
full
very
interview.
Honored, very proud to have as our initial guest on this season's Budweiser's Hardball. Well, he is Atlanta's most famous resident and certainly most famous athlete. Henry Aaron joins us tonight. Mr. Aaron, how are you this evening?
I'm fine. How are you?
Very good, sir. And by the way, let me just say happy anniversary to you.
Well, thank you.
1974 on this date, I'm sure you know as well as I, 714 to tie Babe Ruth.
Right, right.
But I guess if we look back at your career every day during the season, we might be able to say happy anniversary about something.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
714 on this day. Now, most people focus on what happened the night of 715, but you and I have had some conversations about what led up to 650, 700, when people are starting to realize what you were going to do. But you had to go through a player strike. I think a lot of people forget about that.
Yes, I did. And I always said that if it lasted any longer than it did, I probably would have had a rougher time trying to break the record. But I always felt like settling time for me to go ahead and really have a good year. And a funny thing about that year, you know, while they were negotiating a new deal, I kept myself in fairly decent shape. I took batting practice. I went to Mobile. I took batting practice with some friends of mine. I kept myself in shape. And so when the settlement was made, I think I was in better shape than most people were, you know.
And coming back, obviously, that helped you. Now, you knew, though, that if that strike went any... First of all, let me ask you about that strike. I have spoken to Marvin Miller. He's actually going to join me again tonight on the show as well. Were you in favor of what the Players Association was doing in that year?
Well, you know, it's a funny thing. I can't recall, but, you have to be very honest. I have to be very honest with myself now, is that I don't know. Most players, even if you talk to them today, don't know what strikes are all about. You can have a strike, and you can ask the average player, what are they striking for? And they can't give you too much of an answer. At that point, I could give you an answer. I knew we were striking. I knew it was money involved in it. I knew it was the length of the contract. But we wasn't making any money at all. So, you know, the thing that was so nice about that was the fact that any settlement that was made was going to be better for the players, because we just wasn't making any money at all compared to what players are striking for today.
Now, do you think there was any consideration to the home run chase that you were on? Did anybody ever bring that up? Hey, Hank, listen, I'm sorry we're doing this, but we have to do this. Was that ever any discussion?
There was no discussion about that.
No, huh?
I don't remember anybody ever saying anything about that. I think that the only thing that was discussed was the fact that we were doing something that was going to help all of the players and not just, you know, one or two.
Did they ask the more high-profile players, the more profile names, to come forth and speak to any other players at that point? In other words, if Hank Aaron is behind this, well, then maybe we'll have a better chance of convincing everybody else to be behind it.
I really can't. I can't give you an answer. Mm-hmm. I'm being as honest as I can. I just can't give you an answer. It's been so long ago until I just don't know. I still was probably in... it wasn't taking enough ginkgos, I guess.
Well, let's talk about what happened not much after April 4th in 1974 when you do hit number 715. I know you can never get tired of telling the story about the day and everything else, but you know what I'm always curious about?
Right.
Nobody ever asked, what did you do when you were alone that night? I know what you did in Fulton County. You ran around the bases. A couple of guys came out to greet you. You had a big pile at home plate. They... Mm-hmm. Gave you a little bit of a ceremony right then and there. But when you got home that night, what was that like for you?
You mean after the home run?
Yeah.
Well, you know, the first thing I did was, of course, got on my knees and prayed. That's number one. I did that. And then I had friends over the house, some people that was from the William Morris agents was there. And then I had one or two other guests that was there. I think my mother was there. Mm-hmm. But those were the only people that were there. It was I didn't get from the ballpark until in the wee hours of the morning. And then when I did get there, you know, when I got home, of course, I had a chance to talk to someone from the William Morris agents who was telling me how much money I could make, and I have yet to see it yet.
Now, you got that baseball back that night. Did the Hall of Fame ask you for that ball at that moment?
Yes. Yes, they wanted the ball and bat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we kept it, and eventually it's there now. But I kept it because I felt like, you know, I needed to enjoy it myself.
Right, you earned it. I mean, yeah. There would be a time and a place to have everybody see it, but I would imagine there has to be that time where you get a chance to just say, okay, I am in possession of this because I earned this.
Right, right. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to keep it.
Now, there was also a little bit of a situation where were you going to play in Cincinnati? The commissioner had to get involved. I mean, was that your idea to maybe sit, or was that the Braves organization filtered down through you?
Well, actually, you know, no one had ever thought about what was said. The only thing, if I can give you the correct analysis,
which is probably something nobody has really ever asked or heard yet.
Right. The only thing that was said was that, would you rather hit the home run in Cincinnati or in Atlanta?
Mm-hmm.
And I said I would prefer hitting it in Atlanta because that was the place I played my home games in. That was my honest opinion about where it was. And, of course, Dick Young, who's no longer with us, who has passed away, was writing for one of the New York papers.
The New York Post, probably, yeah,
right,
at the time.
Dick Young wrote an article in the paper, said it's a shame. Hank ought to be made to play a 2 out of 3 games in Cincinnati because that was his – that's the way he played the year before. Well, you know, Dick Young had a powerful pen, you know. I mean, he said things, he did things, and the commissioner listened.
Go ask Tom Seaver, by the way, about Dick Young's powerful
yeah.
pen.
Yeah. And so I heard, the next thing I heard was from the commissioner. I didn't hear from him, but a roundabout way, and just through the grapevine, he was going to persuade, he was going to make me play 2 out of 3 games because it was good for baseball and da-da-da-da-da and on and on and on. And the thing that made me so angry about the whole thing was the fact that the commission never said, Hank, what do you think about it? You know, mm-hmm. give me your opinion, what you think about it. And then if it wasn't what he wanted, he was going to make the decision anyhow. But nobody said anything about, didn't come to me and say, this is what we think. The only thing I heard, and I heard it here again, I heard it through the grapevine, that if I had not played 2 out of 3 games, Matthews was going to be suspended for a long time, and then the team was going to be fined for not playing me. And so, you know, after I hit the home run, the first time up in the game in Cincinnati, and then I said, well, you know, I said, play 2 out of 3, you know. You hit the home run the first time, play 2 out of 3, you know. And a lot of people say, you know, and the other thing was people say, well, were you trying? Were you trying mm-hmm. to hit a home run? I said, well, let me put it this way. You know, anybody that ever played this game, you don't go up and say, well, I'm going to hit a home run whenever I can, mm-hmm. whenever I want to. And so those were the thing that really happened. You know, it was just so much controversial.
So you never said you weren't going to play, but the commissioner almost ruled on it like you did say that.
That's right.
Yeah.
He ruled on it himself, but he never said anything to me about it. I think he directly got involved with either Matthews, or he got in touch with Bartholomew or somebody owning the ball club. And he said that, according to my records, I'm just repeating what I read in the paper, according to my record, Hank last year played 2 out of 3 games. He didn't play a day game after night game, da-da-da. But we expect him to play 2 out of 3 games in Cincinnati.
Hank, do you believe it's that many years ago? I mean, the heck with the 715. How about this many years since you actually signed that first contract to play?
Are you talking about my first contract?
Yeah, I mean.
Well, it doesn't seem like it's that long ago. You know, I was, in fact, just the other day they gave a dinner for Hall of Famer and a good friend of mine's, Warren Spahn in mm-hmm. Milwaukee. And we started talking about it. And the first thing I said, you know, I said my first contract was only, it was 2 pages. That was all 2 pages. I said, that don't scratch the surface today, you know, the way contracts mm-hmm. are drawn up now. It just doesn't seem like it's that long ago. But then yet, you know, baseball is a game that sometime, you know, 1 year it may make some dramatic moves. Like now, the pitching is different. The strike zone is different. Of course, players make way, way, way much, much more money than I ever thought about, dream about making. But no, I didn't think about how long ago that's been.
Because it is pretty amazing. When you start out, I'm sure the goal is to play in the major leagues, to get an at-bat in the major leagues. Then if you hit a home run in the major leagues, well, boy, that would be fantastic. Then if I play the second season in the major, did you have that progression of thought when you look back on it, that small steps eventually will lead to what it is you accomplished overall?
Well, no, I didn't. But I had a very good friend of mine, Tommy Agee, who died a few months ago.
Yep.
Tommy talked to me one day. In fact, you know, I was, after the 57-58 World Series, you know, I was kind of looking forward to saying, hey, you know, it's time for you to start looking for something else to do. Get your job and start doing something else. And Tommy came to me, and he said, you know one thing? He said, you can't even think about this. He said, you are so close to doing some of the greatest things of all in this game of baseball. So you have to continue to stay in there and fight and play as hard as you can because you're still a very young man.
Don't let the other things ultimately affect what you might be capable of doing.
Right, right.
And
right.
Did you find yourself getting refocused and thinking solely about baseball at that point then?
I did. Mm-hmm. I thought about what he said, and I said, you know, he's right. I said, you know, there's few people that come along that has the ability, the gift that God gave them to play this game. And I said, I don't need to shortchange myself. You know, I need to get everything I can out of it, you know.
And Mickey Mantle spent the last couple of years of his life talking about that pretty openly and publicly. Boy, if he only knew then what he knew now and
True. How
much wasted talent ended up in so many different places instead of on the baseball field.
That's true. That is very true. And that's what happens sometimes with athletes sometimes. And that's why I say sometimes when you're young, sometimes it's wasted on sometimes talent is wasted on the young and foolish because they don't realize how much talent one may have until it's too late, until they wake up and they say, oh, my goodness, if I had only knew what I know now 10 years ago.
And I can't do the things that I should be capable of doing because of all of the other acts that maybe have come in between.
Right, right. You know, and you know, I hate to bring this up because it is a very so subject to me now, you know, and I just feel sorry for Dale Strawberry, for an example, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when Dale Strawberry was drafted out of high school or college, when he was drafted,
high school,
there was absolutely nobody that ever came in this game that had as much talent as Dale Strawberry did. Somehow, somewhere along the way, somebody got a hold of this young man and put him on the wrong track, and there he goes, you know. But I'm just saying, I just bring that up. And that's a lot of Strawberries out there that happens that way. You know, when young and you just throw your life away, and the first thing you know, you wasted 10 years when you could have been productive.
Now, let me ask you this, Hank. You talk about, and we know the money disparities between when you were playing and now. Do you think that's one of the reason maybe players of your day, they had their fun, and listen, nobody was an angel. And,
true.
But the idea that I had to come back and do this again because this is what I do for a living, it has to be what I do for a living. I have to be conscious of that. You maybe didn't get caught up in extreme things because you knew you had to play the next season to provide for your family. You knew you had to play the season after that to provide for your family. Maybe there weren't as many traps as there are today or as many people pulling at you because of the size of the money and the contracts and everything else.
Well, that may have something to do with it. I think the difference in you mentioned traps, the difference when I was playing and a lot of players when I was playing back in the day, when my first contract called for $5,000, well, you know, you can't trap a person that can't make it anything. You know,
right.
Really. So there's not too many traps that they can set out there for me, you know, really. But you're right. You know, today I think you can set traps for players, con artists, people like that, somebody out there that just don't mean you any good. Is because you have so much wasted time on your hand.
Right.
That's what happened. You know, and that's why I say always, you know, when young players come to me for advice, I don't talk about them. I don't talk to them about home runs or runs batted in. I say get involved in the community. Get involved with the Boy Scouts, the Big Brothers, or some organization that's going to help you, you know, stay in touch with the real world, you know, rather than just sitting down saying, oh, I make this much money. Because, you know, I always said an absent mind is the devil's workshop. You know, and so it's so true that when you're not doing anything, somebody's going to come around that's going to give you some advice that is not going to be useful or helpful to you.
And the sense of reality on a close-to-daily basis probably keeps you more in check as well.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's very true.
I'm talking to Hank Aaron for a few more minutes, and I do appreciate the time, Mr. Aaron, on the inaugural night of Budweiser's Hardball. Hank, is there anybody out there that you think is going to get to 756?
Well, you know, there's several players. I think I mentioned this before, and I still stick with my guns. I think Ken Griffey Jr., and I think Mark McGwire, if he stays healthy. I think the thing that's against Mark, I think that if he's been subject to a lot of injuries, you know, and I think that if he can stay healthy, I think that he hits them in such bunches, you know. I mean, he don't hit 35 or 40.
Mm-hmm.
He hits 65 and 70, you know. And, of course, Ken Griffey Jr., with his age, he got right. everything working for him. You know, he don't have to just hit 60 home runs. He can just keep hitting 35 or 40 because he do have some years left. I think those two players right now have an outside chance of probably breaking the record.
And will you be in the building? I mean,
No, I will not. And I said this before, and I hope people understand, you know, because I don't want to take anything away from that particular that person, whoever he may be, whether it be Ken Griffey or Mark McGwire. And I don't want them to put anything other than to say, hey, this is your night, enjoy it, mm-hmm. and I don't want to bring back things like what we're talking about right now. You know, I don't want people to say, well, if this had happened, would you think you could have done this? I don't want nobody to say anything, you know, and I don't, and that doesn't mean anything to me. I said this, and I want people to remember that I am speaking God's truth. I have had the record long enough, and the records, I always said, and I always said this, that records are made to be broken. And I would like to see somebody come along and break it. It doesn't really make any difference to me. You know, I am not going to get one more nickel out of it. I'm not going to get people not going to say, well, here come the home run champ. Mm-hmm. I'm going to always have that title, you know, no matter what.
Right. And people are going to believe about your career, whatever it is they believe.
Right.
As of today, and that probably is not going to change on that date that somebody hit 756.
That's right. That's yeah. exactly right. So I it doesn't make any difference to me, really. But to answer your question, no, I have no intention. You know, it's going to happen. Let's see. I'm 66 years old now, 67. So it's going to be 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be 70, 71 years old, and I know damn well I'm not going to be traveling around on no plane trying to get someplace, you know. I would probably be somewhere retired somewhere.
And you could watch it in your living room like the rest of the country.
That's right, and wish everybody all the luck. You know.
Hank, last thing for you. This idea has always been brought up, and my partner and I have talked about it a lot, and I've mentioned it to you. I find it amazing that as great as you were, I still put you into the underrated category when it comes to public perception.
Mm-hmm.
Would one simple thing change that? If you played in New York City, would I even have to make that statement?
No, you wouldn't. No, you would not. If I had played in New York City, they would not. Nothing would be underrated about Henry Aaron.
Do you believe that statement? By the way, that with all the accomplishments and the numbers, you probably take second tier status to some people that you're not supposed to.
I do that. Oh yes, no question about it. No question.
Does
about
it bother
it.
You?
No, it doesn't bother me. It used to be a few years ago. I said 10 years when I retired from baseball. Yes. But now, you know, it doesn't bother me because, I just feel like, and I say this, I feel like I've been extremely, not lucky, but I've been very fortunate to have met a lot of people who have been good to me, you know. Mm-hmm. And not just people talking about, well, you know, you know, this guy is better than you, this guy is better than you, and you come in second. Not those type of people, you know. For an example, you know, I sit right here. In this dealership,
mm-hmm.
I met a man that who's no longer here that gave me an opportunity to be involved with automobile business. I met a man a few years ago that gave me the opportunity to own a lot of businesses, you know, like a fast food restaurant. So, you know, it has nothing to do with baseball because my life had to move into, I always say, into phase two. I had to get out of baseball. I had to get into something else. I don't know that I would have been able to remain in baseball because baseball to me is still in that zone where it, you know, either
you're with them or you're not with them. You're part of them or you're not part of them.
That's right. You can't, it can't be no, you can't straddle the fence,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I've never been that way in my life, you know. So I feel like I come to this dealership every single day. I go to the ballpark every single day. And I meet different people, you know, who have given me another agenda in life.
And you know what's amazing? Yeah. Hank, you meet them as Henry Aaron, perhaps the baseball player, but you seem smart enough to know that they're going to walk away talking about Henry Aaron the man than they're going to talk about Henry Aaron the baseball player.
That's true. And I've been very fortunate. I've been lucky, and I've enjoyed my life. You know, and so I have no animosity toward mm-hmm. anybody that said, hey, you know, Hank Aaron was second. Hank Aaron with the. I used to pay strict attention to those kind of things. It doesn't bother me anymore.
Well, it sounds like even at an age of 10 years ago, 56, 57, there's a maturity process that you have to continue with your whole life, and that was one of those moments for you.
That's true. And I think that I had to say, hey, you know, you can't change everybody. It's kind of like who did you vote for in president? You know, no matter whether you got 2,000 votes mm-hmm. or somebody got 199,000 votes, you still lost.
Right.
You know, so it doesn't really make any difference.
And to stand up and try to shout to the world, well, no, think about me this way instead of that way, you're not going to reach everybody.
That's right.
And people are probably going to say, oh, you're trying too hard on top of that.
That's true. And, you know, and the other thing is this, is so many things out here, you know, that gives me a great satisfaction, you know. I am the governor this year and will be for the next 2 years of the Boys and Girls Club.
Is that as big as the things you did in baseball?
That to me is great. The other day I heard a tremendous sad story about siblings, you know, mm-hmm. a young lady, she didn't live here, she lived in New York, came from a family of about 8 or 9. All those kids turned out to be drug addicts and all this. She is 1 year away from getting her dentist license, mm-hmm. and she picked up one of her other siblings and carried with her. To me, that is one of the greatest stories of all time. When I hear things like that,
sports are great.
Yeah,
life matters more.
That's exactly right. So that makes me feel great. You know.
Well, Hank, I really appreciate the time. Here are two questions I'm going to ask everybody this year that I interview. Bottom of the ninth, tie game, man on second. If you're in the dugout, who do you want to hit for your team at that point? All time in baseball.
Are you asking me that?
Yep.
Oh, am I included in that?
Yes, you can be.
I want myself up there.
Okay. That's good enough for me.
I want myself up there. I never ran away. I want the ball hit to me, and I want to be at the plate when the pitcher throwing the ball, because I feel like I got more confidence in myself than anybody else.
Well, let's turn it around. You're in the field. Who would you want pitching in that situation? Tie game, man on second, two outs, bottom of the ninth. You're out in the outfield. Who would you like to see on the pitcher's mound at that point?
I could give you two or three, but I'm going to give you just one. Give me Bob Gibson.
That's probably a pretty strong answer.
Yeah.
One out, one guy to end a game, or certainly send it to extra innings. Bob Gibson's the answer. Well, Mr. Aaron, I really appreciate it. It's always a pleasure talking to you. I appreciate you kicking off Budweiser's Hardball this year. Everybody, I believe, in town knows Hank Aaron's BMW is what you're associated with now. You've gone on to that phase two, and it's been very successful. And
you sure have.
I think when all is said and done and people assess, they'll talk about Hank Aaron off the field quite the same way they talked about Hank Aaron on the field.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much, and I've enjoyed myself.
All right, Hank, thanks very much.
And it's always nice speaking with you.
It's always nice speaking with you as well.
Thank you.
All right.
And thanks once again for listening to the Gwinnett Daily Post podcast. And thanks, Chris, for that great insight on Henry Aaron. Join us this Wednesday as we continue our weekly updates. For the Gwinnett Daily Post podcast, I'm Darren Sutherland. Hey, have a great weekend. And what's wrong with living right anyway?